Melanie Spanswick's miniature etude, played by Chenian Lee. I'm Erica Worth, and welcome to this pianist podcast. Today, I am catching up with the writer, educator, lecturer, and composer, Melanie Spanswick. Melanie, it's lovely to have you on the pianist podcast today.
Oh, thank you very much for having me. I'm thrilled to be here.
Oh, you're most welcome. Well, I know you pretty well by now because and most of our Pianist magazine readers will do too, because inside every issue of the magazine, you present a beginner lesson for the beginner level pianist. It seems that actually there's so much you've been doing, you've got to tell the listeners. You seem to be a jack of all trades.
That's right. I'm probably a master of none, but there we go. Yes, I've been writing for Pianist Magazine for over 11 years now.
Oh my goodness!
I know, it's nearly 70 editorials. It's been wonderful. It's been really interesting. So I've thoroughly enjoyed it. Yeah.
Thank you, and I know our readers love it. But back to you and exactly what you do away from Pianist Magazine. You've authored 29 publications to date. So if you could tell us a bit about them and how it all started.
Sure. Well, it started back in 2012, so quite a long time ago now. Up until then, I'd played a lot of concerts. I'd been a pianist. Then I'd done, some teaching as well, and I'd also examined. I've been an examiner.
Yes.
But I had an illness, and I decided that when I got back to being myself again, and I was fortunate to recover, I decided I'd take a completely different path. Musical, of course, but still a different path. And I'd always wanted to write. It was something I'd always wanted to do. So what I did is I established a blog. And back in 2012, they were a trendy thing to do. I'm not quite sure it's quite the same now, but certainly back then, all the piano writers, they all had a blog. So I started with that. Probably I had no idea how time consuming and how difficult and what kind of commitment is high level of commitment when you write a blog, because since then mostly every week I've published a blog post, whether it's me writing it or whether I've got guest writers writing it, and that's quite a commitment over the past 13 or so years. So that's how I started, but I always knew I wanted to write books, so I started with that in mind. And it took about 2 or 3 years, I would say. And I wrote for Pianist Magazine in that time. But then I was eventually approached by various publishers. And I started with Alfred, and I wrote a book called So You Want to Play the Piano. And I'd already self-published this book. So they contacted me and they asked me, would you like to write a fuller version of this book, and we'll republish it? So that's what I did. And that's how it started, really, back in 2015. And from then on, once you start writing and you start publishing, I suppose it's kind of a rolling machine in a way. And I was approached by Faber Music. I did the piano music, Faber Piano Music Anthology. I had to get that around the right way. That's a very popular anthology, actually, with about 70 piano pieces in. And that's for intermediate level students. So it's probably about grade 3 to 7, something like that. And that was very popular. And so I had these two books out, and I wrote some music as well, because I've always composed. So that kind of went alongside the books. But then in 2015, I was approached by Schott, and they asked me if I would critique one of their new piano methods. And that was Piano Junior, which was subsequently published by them and written, of course, by Hans-Günther Heumann. And that's about, I think it's about a 16 volume book series now, but when we started, it was just one book, and I critiqued that. And then they asked me, after I'd done that, they must have been happy with it, because they asked me, would I write a series for piano adult returners?
Ah, right, okay. And might that be the one that's Play It Again, piano?
Play It Again, absolutely, Play It Again, piano.
Yes, so if you could tell us a little bit about that, who it's aimed at and how you go through the series and there's 3 volumes?
There's 3 volumes, and we're just about to publish a fourth.
Wow, how exciting. And do you find that people follow the journey? They go from 1 to 2 to 3 and then obviously to 4?
Yes, that's how it started back in. We published it in 2017. That was the first 2 books. And then we added book 3 in 2019. And it is written as a course. So it will take students from grade 1 right up until diploma level. So I think book 1, something like grade 1 to 4. And then we have grade 5 to 8 and then 8 to diploma. And that's in the third book. And the second book is grade 5 to 8.
And can people dip in? Let's say you're an intermediate level pianist and you don't need to do book one. If you bought book two, is that okay? Or would it be advisable to start with one?
You can absolutely start wherever you like, and I think that's the beauty of books like this, because you can be a certain level, and you can, with adult returners, we know they probably don't know what they remember and what they don't remember. So sometimes it's advisable to start at book one, because that's got information going from the beginning, as you would probably say, or certainly from grade one,
Yes.
and then you can work through the books. But some people prefer just to buy book two, or maybe they move straight to
Yes.
book three if they're very advanced and they're already diploma level players. You can make a lovely diploma
Yes.
program from book three.
That's very interesting because in the magazine, a lot of people say I've returned to the piano. I don't know what level I am now.
Yes.
It's mostly be quite a common question, isn't it?
I think that's a very common question. People, they do they remember this? Do they remember that? But what's I think important about the books is that there's a lot of technical information that goes alongside the repertoire. So in
Okay.
book one, for example, whilst you've got 28 pieces, you've also got a lot of technical information. I talk a lot about flexibility, developing a flexible upper body along with firm fingers. I give exercises on that. I give very
Yes.
detailed practice tips on each piece. So it's almost like our lesson plan in Pianist Magazine, but even more detailed with lots of exercises and musical examples. And that
Yes.
takes them through every piece. So they've got that as well. And then at the end of book one and two, there's a lot of theory. So you've got theory, little theory exercises, and again, reminders for the pianist that may have forgotten all of that, years ago.
Interesting. And do you think that would go alongside exams? Let's say somebody's taking Trinity or ABRSM grade, whatever. Your books can help along that journey.
Absolutely. It's very much graded with the British Exam Board syllabus in mind.
Okay.
And of course, a lot of the pieces, why we called it Play It Again, was there are quite a lot of famous pieces in there. There are also some unknown pieces, but
Yes.
we and some famous arrangements, but mostly they're original pieces that you would expect to find in music of
Yes.
that level. So people will know a lot of the pieces. But what they really need is instructions on how to play them. This is what they find, and they don't all have teachers. So this is a kind
Yes.
of almost like a substitute. You can use the books with a teacher or without a teacher.
Fascinating. That's wonderful. Yes. And then also, I believe you've got the Wonderful Women Composers, a graded anthology for piano series.
That's right. And again, that came out in 2022, and that goes from grade one to diploma level as well. Just a quick thing on going back on the Play It Again. The new book
Yes.
is actually a prep book. So it's actually not for advanced. It's for
Okay.
the beginner level, because we had so many inquiries about pupils that hadn't, or students that hadn't got to grade one yet. What would they do? So we went back and we decided, okay, well, we're going to have a book that goes from just beyond, say, your beginner method. So you might have a John Thompson or something. And just beyond that, you could start with the prep book. And it's got 37, 38 pieces and a lot of information. So in that, I've also given a lot of rhythmic information and exercises and note rhythm and notation exercises as well.
That's so interesting. That's really so. Book four is actually, one could say, pre-book one.
It is. That is
Yeah.
that's exactly it. It's pre-book one. So I'm hoping that people
Yes.
that haven't started the course yet, they might think, oh, that's perfect, because it has a lot of reminders that are helpful, I think.
Fantastic. Oh, and when do you think that will be out?
Oh, we're hoping that's going to be out in June.
Okay.
Yeah,
Okay.
so not
That's
too far.
great.
Not too
I look
far.
forward to receiving a copy.
Great.
But back to the women composers. This is obviously something you are wanting to get out there, all these wonderful women composers that most probably haven't had their shining place, amongst the repertoire. Which ones can we find inside your anthologies?
Well, yes, this is something I've been fascinated with since I was a teenager, because I had a piano teacher at the Royal College where I studied, and she made a study of women composers. And back then, of course, in the 80s and 90s, it was quite unusual. She
Yeah.
would do whole recitals of BBC Radio 4 and 3 recitals of just female composers, and she specialised in Victorian music. So I got introduced to it back then. So I've always had this in my mind. But I was able to put it into practice, if you like, back in 2019, when Shott and I decided we'd do a what was going to be a two book course to start with, but it kind of morphed into a three book series, I suppose you'd say. And yes, we start at grade one and we finish at diploma level. So book one would be kind of grade one to four, and then 5 to 7, I think, or 4 to 7, and then grade seven and above is the third book. And we've got some interesting composers. We've got all the usual composers, people like you would expect, Clara Schumann. We've got Melanie Bonus. We've got Teresa Carreño, Lily Boulanger. But we've also got, especially in the first two books, unusual pieces by composers like Maria Goraz, Helen Liebman, Theodora Dutton, Cecilia Maria Bartelemon. That's a wonderful piece.
Goodness.
Yes, really unusual. Felicitas Kukac, I hope I'm pronouncing this correctly. And Florence Arda Goodrich, she's written a wonderful little grade one piece called Water Sprite. So it's quite these are quite unusual historical composers. I wanted to combine historical composers with contemporary composers. So we've got quite a few contemporary pieces, and many of them specially written for the series by composers like Wendy Hiscox, who's an Australian composer, Samantha Ward, British composer,
Yes.
who
Oh,
also
yes.
writes for Schott. We've got
What
other
about
composers.
you? What about
Yes,
you?
I've written two pieces in the volume, in the book one and book two as
Oh,
well.
fantastic. Yeah.
There's a lovely Japanese composer called Mai Fukasawa. She's written a fantastic piece for the third book. Really beautiful meditative quality piece. We have Tatiana Komarova. She's a Russian composer that writes for Schott. So we've got quite a variety. And then of course people like Luis Faranck and
Yes.
Melanie Bonus and
Yeah.
other composers you might expect. We also got the Spanish composer Narcisa Frisas, and
Yes.
we made a special study of her, Schott and I. We were very interested in her music.
Yeah, that's interesting. I think we've also featured a couple of her pieces inside Pianist magazine. So she appears in your Schott student editions. There's a
That's
whole
right.
volume devoted to her music.
Well, we've just started doing female composers on the Schott student edition, which is this edition has been going quite a while, and it's a
Yes.
very interesting series of anthologies for all instruments, so it's not just piano. And I've contributed so far 5 volumes. We started with Amy Beach, the children's pieces, and the children's carnival, I think, and then we decided we do 2 volumes of Narcisa Frisas. So we've got her elementary pieces
Yeah.
in the first volume, and then we've got her dances and character pieces in the second. So they're much more advanced, they're probably intermediate level. But the elementary pieces, probably grade one, two, three, something like that, for students, charming pieces. And the good thing
Yes.
about these editions is, of course, there's a lot of annotated scores. So you've got the fingering, you've got the pedaling, the metronome
Yes.
markings
Yes.
that I've added to the scores, which helps students. And there's a whole load of teaching or practice notes at the end as well.
Right,
So
okay.
again, if a student is maybe working without a teacher, or they want to learn the piece quickly and they want just a
Yes.
few ideas of how to work at the
Yes.
music, there's plenty of that in this edition, which I think is helpful actually. We've
So
also
have
done, we've also, I should just say, we've just done 2 more editions, and this is Melanie Bonus. So we've focused on her very simple pieces, her 20 pieces. I'm not going to say the French title, but they're because I'm hopeless with French, but they're for younger students. And then we're also publishing her more advanced pieces, the Sinon Fantine as well.
Oh my goodness, some of her advanced pieces are absolutely wondrous. I mean,
They're
it's
divine, aren't they? Beautifully
beautiful.
written, so well
Oh
written
my
for the
goodness.
instrument.
Yeah, some of the magazine there, breathtakingly beautiful.
They really are. She writes so well, and in the it's quite interesting because in the children's pieces she does a lot of unusual textures and split hands and all sorts of
Yes.
ways of moving around the keyboard, not just harmonically, but very much it's very physical music, which is interesting. I don't see that in a lot of other elementary composers' music.
Interesting, interesting. But you, as a composer, you've also just recently brought out a series or one book, Ghostly Piano Tales.
Ghostly Piano Tales, absolutely. They came out last year, and they're for students probably grade one to three level. It's a kind of elementary, late elementary. And I was totally inspired to write this book by my I won't say obsession because that sounds bizarre, but my interest in the occult
Oh.
and in ghostly stories generally. So I picked out some of my favourite characters and stories for this book. So there's 24 little pieces, and every single one has a ghostly tale, or it's talking about a particular entity. And It's kind of it's not really a Halloween book. It's a little bit more than that. It's a little bit more detailed about each little story or scenario, and I explain the character. And then I hope that the music is a little programmatic piece or kind of tone poem as a homage to that particular tale. So it's a nice, I hope it's a nice idea, and we're hoping to bring one out for grade 4 to 6 as well. So that's something we'll be doing in the future.
Wonderful. Fantastic. And is that the book that you recently won an award, didn't you?
That's right. We've
That's The Ghost of Piano Town.
just won the Art of Piano Education Award, and I picked up the award the other day at the Royal Albert Hall, which was lovely. So it was great fun, and it's lovely to be recognised
Yes.
for myself as a composer. I won an award as well for the Women Composers Anthology, which was very nice. That was a Presto Music Award in 2022. So it's nice to have something
Yes.
for my music as well. It's exciting.
That's fantastic. Well done.
Oh,
Bravo.
thank you.
Away from composing and publications, you, of course, you're a teacher, piano teacher, and you
Yes.
give master classes all over the world, often in Asia. This is obviously a big part of your career, isn't it?
It is. I've taught since I was 15. I mean, goodness, when I look back then, what I didn't know then and what I know now, it's quite shocking, isn't it? When you think you've got to start somewhere. So whether 15 was too young or not, I don't know. But I used to teach my piano teacher's little students to start with, and that's how I started. And you kind of it's a life's journey teaching. You really learn so much along the way, as well as of course at college. That's important too. But
Yes.
it is important to work with students, and I've done it for many years now.
Yes, and you teach a lot of youngsters at the Guildhall Junior
That's
Department,
right.
Guildhall Junior Department, and also Eton College. You enjoy that as well.
I do. The Guildhall, I have very young students. They start with me about the age of 8 sometimes, and then they go to 18. I have a mixture of students, but I've got two or three quite young ones at the moment. It's fascinating teaching the young ones because they come along to me about grade 5 or 6 level-ish. Some are a bit higher than that, but mostly that level. And of course, it's up to me to take them and to train them to be. Well, they want to be to professional level, so that's what we're aiming for. But the interesting thing with little ones is you can make such a lot of progress quite quickly. If you
Okay.
treat them in a certain way, if you involve the parents, so the parents will come into my lessons, they'll sit, they'll make notes, they'll take videos of,
Oh,
I don't know,
yes.
hand positions or whatever we work at, and then they'll work very studiously with their children over the week, and you can really see the progress. I think that's the thing that attracts me to it. You can do a lot and introduce them to really interesting music as well, of course.
That's so, yeah. So the differences between teaching children versus teaching adults, there must be quite a few differences,
It's
yeah.
a massive, I think it's a massive difference. Yes. They're both enjoyable, but they've both got different challenges. As I said, the little ones, they won't think anything's difficult. So I had a little girl came a couple of years ago, and she sat down in the first lesson, and she said to me, "I hate playing the piano. Someone's making me do it, and I'll
Ah.
never play from memory ever." And this term, we finally got her. She's now doing grade 8. She came to me at grade 5. We've got her grade 8 pieces. She's playing them all from memory. And I asked her, I said, "You enjoy playing?" "Oh, I absolutely love it now. Yes, I'm really enjoying it." So you can make a difference. You can
Oh,
introduce them, but
yes.
you can turn it around and you can see the progress. With an adult, it's slightly different. Of course, they make progress and they're very keen to put their time in and effort in, but it's more
Yes.
difficult because their muscles and their body is set. And often they've learnt what can I say in a less than ideal manner, and you've got to take them back and correct
Oh,
all of
yes.
that. Some don't mind at all, others get very frustrated by this because you do
Oh.
have to move back a little bit. You have to kind of come out of your body and ask them to watch what they're
Yes.
doing physically, whereas children don't even think about that. They're already watching what they're doing physically, and they're usually very much more pliable, so they do it quite easily. But it's different with an adult. Adults can do it, it just takes longer. And I think they have to think a little bit more about themselves as an athlete and what they're actually doing
Yes.
physically rather than just the music. They're hoping to only hone in on the music, which we all know is very important. But it's
Must
really
yes.
that this movement thing has to be sorted out or taken seriously first, I think, or addressed.
Yeah, I guess it is a bit frustrating because, obviously mentally adults are much further advanced than children,
Absolutely.
so it
Yeah, they
must be
are.
frustrating.
And I think they know how they sound, whereas children probably
Yeah.
don't. They probably don't. And their children are up for trying all sorts of things. But adult, if I'm teaching an adult, they'll always ask me why they have to do something. Well, why do I have to do this movement? Why do I have to do this? Because the movements often feel very exaggerated to start with when you're working to get them free and flexible. Of course, that's not how they're going to play at the end. But if they don't do that movement, they won't be flexible or free enough to play how they want. So you have to explain everything to an adult. But once you've done that, and once they understand that, then it's kind of they work alongside and they do make improvement. Yes, they do, of course.
Do you think they suffer more from nerves?
Definitely. Yeah, definitely. You can, I mean, little ones do. I do a little end of year, end of term class at Guildhall for my students, and little ones sometimes suffer as well. That's why I encourage them to play so much. A lot of my students do festivals and competitions, and I know a lot of people disagree with that, but it's fantastic practice for them just to get up there all the time, every term, and play. And I think probably adults are more nervous, and I can totally understand that. They feel much more self-conscious. They feel as though, they're not as far ahead as perhaps they want to be. But again, if they're exposed to playing little concerts, there's wonderful meetup groups, lots of different meetup groups around the country and around the world. And if they're even doing that on Zoom, it's great for adults to have a little group and to come and play with each other. And that's why I established the Adult Piano Returners Facebook group.
Well, I was going to talk to you about your online presence, which is obviously you've talked about your blog, which is extremely active. But yes, tell me a bit about starting your adult piano returners on Facebook.
Well, during the lockdown, I think we all felt a bit at a loose end, and I kind of thought, what can I do to get people together to start playing online and try other ways of presenting themselves and playing the piano. So I started this group back in 2021 now, and I just called it Adult Piano Returners because I thought, well, that's basically what they are. And it's really flourished. We're almost on 40,000 members now. And it's great. They come and they make all their comments, they ask all their questions, they post lots of videos of their playing. And that's exactly what we intended, what I intended. They can post themselves playing. People, because they post themselves, they might hear different music that they've never heard before, they might see different types of playing that they've never seen before. And it's a kind of really, really nice community that it's flourished into, I
That's
think.
wonderful. 40, so somebody who's, you have to be a member.
You have to join, but it's completely free. So you basically just click join. I let everybody in, so I'm not. I'm not. I do police it very carefully. I have to obviously make sure that we don't have posts in there that people don't want to see. No advertising, really. And I have rules as well. But I let everybody in, and everybody then is free to join, make their comments, post their videos, and whatever they want to do, really.
So somebody can post a video of their playing the Bach Prelude in C and up there, and people can give comments, hopefully positive, and
That's exactly what they do. Yeah, because mostly people do post positive comments, then negativity, which can happen in these Facebook groups, tends to not be there, which is great. We only want a positive, and my idea was to encourage people, nothing else really.
And readership is obviously all over the world.
It's all over the world. It's amazing, actually. Because you think, oh, people probably just be in Europe or maybe America, but actually we have people from New Zealand and Australia and all over the place. Japan, it's great. It's really
And have you
good.
met up? Have you met any of these people?
I haven't yet. I haven't yet. We've talked about it. We've even talked about doing Zoom conversations and maybe a Zoom meetup where people play. So perhaps that's something we will think about in the future. But mostly we just meet on Facebook.
I thought you might have bumped into them at a concert
Actually,
or a master
now,
classes.
yeah, now you've suggested, now you've mentioned that. I went to Australia last year to do a whole tour, actually, and one of the adult piano returners group members came to one of my workshops, which is so lovely. It really was, and we had photographs, and I signed her books, and yeah, it was great. So I do meet very occasionally when they come along to my workshops and things.
Oh, that's wonderful. Gosh, goodness. Well, we've been chatting quite a bit here, but I was going to ask you, people here who don't really know anything about you and they're an amateur pianist, and if there was any advice you would give to an amateur pianist about how to improve or how to start, or is there any advice, easy advice you can give them on this podcast?
Yes, definitely. I think it depends whether they are starting from scratch or they're beginners or whether they're adult returners. I think if you're a beginner, really the best way to do it is to get yourself a good teacher. Now, I know a lot of people say, well, I can't afford that. Well, perhaps you could have a lesson a month, or perhaps you could supplement it with, there's advice on YouTube, and you can join groups like mine and ask things in the group, we reply. So there is a way to be able to do it more economically. I think that's very important, though, that someone will guide them from the beginning. I mean, I've taught several self-taught students, younger students actually, and it's been incredibly difficult to go back and get them to read fluently. They've taught themselves, and they taught themselves by rote. So they end up doing, I had one that did grade 5 and did really well in the exam. And I said, well, how did you do it? And he said, I just played by rote, everything. I failed the sight reading, and I just played by rote. So I do think, I mean, there is an argument for that, but I do think it's better to start with a teacher. If you're a returner, it's a little bit different because I think you need to know what you remember. So something like my course or my series, Play It Again Piano, really helps with that because then you can drop in at a level that you feel comfortable at. And I do find that most people want to go back to book one and start at the beginning. I mean, they may sight read their way through the earlier pieces that are simple, but that kind of takes them and it progresses in a nice way. I won't say an easy way. That's not, nothing's easy on the piano, but it does progress. And then they can decide whether they want to do a grade, if they want to do a grade, or if they want to have a teacher to take them a bit further. I think most people need a teacher or coaching of some kind, because as we discussed earlier, it's a very physical thing, and I think it's easy to get into bad habits, and it's so difficult to correct those.
And I would have thought it's also good, especially for adult returners or, well, I guess for beginners too, is to have some kind of goal or, where they see themselves in a year, a realistic goal, something to strive towards. Do you think that's important?
I think it really is important for adults because it makes them become excited about it. I've got a couple of students now that want to do the LRSM diploma, and it's beyond them at the moment. I mean, they've done the DIP-ABRSM, but they're moving towards the LTCL, that level.
That's
But
fine.
we've started preparing the program. We've decided what pieces we might play. I managed to make sure that the pieces they've selected are well within. I think that's a really important thing. If you're doing an exam, make sure the pieces are well within your level, because otherwise, under pressure, it becomes very stressful, and all sorts of things can happen. So I kind of slowly work with them to get them to their goal. But I do think a goal helps them practice. It makes them much more motivated, makes them more committed. So yes, I agree.
Oh, Melanie, well, I think we've got to the end here. I'm
Wow.
sure you've given a lot of wonderful advice and inspiration to all levels of pianists listening in here.
Oh,
So
thank
I'd
you.
like to thank you for your time.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It's been a delight. Thank you.
You're very welcome. That was Melanie Spanswick's Chasm, and it's played here by Maiko Mori on the Orchid Classics label. For further information about Melanie Spanswick's publications, visit Shop Music. Go to their website at www.shopmusiclondon.com/pianistmagazine. Pianist podcasts are free, and a really good way to support what we do is by subscribing to Pianist. Visit our website at pianistmagazine.com and listen to us on YouTube by searching Pianist Magazine. Don't forget to also sign up to our free newsletter so we can send you news, extra learning tips, and more. Sign up at pianistmagazine.com.